Peace be with you.
Don't ergo me.
Occasionally I get it right.
More than occasionally.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. What a jam-packed show we have today. If you'd like to get on the line to get on the air, all you have to do is give us a call right now, and we'll chat about anything you want to chat about. I'm very, very...
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Curious
as to just how perfect tomorrow is going to be.
Perfect.
Because, you know...
So it's already going to be perfect.
I am looking at the weather forecast, and I hesitate to do this. I have had golf dates. Mm-hmm. I have had times when I've gone out on the golf course where I've said it's going to be so perfect, it's going to be so beautiful.
I know. Right.
And they F us.
But this is different.
I'm very excited about it. So we want to thank Dave Price from the early show on CBS, the man who has the pleasure every day of working with Julie Chen. And
or is it the other way around?
And sort of the pleasure of working with Harry. He was a fun guy. I like that guy.
Yeah, great.
I really do. We've got Richard Belzer from SVU. He'll be calling in a little bit. And also Last Comic Standing. He's going to have a role in that show this year. I was reading up on old Richard, and he is a very, very interesting guy.
So storied career.
A storied career.
Saying too much?
To say the very least. We'll be talking with Belzer coming up.
Very
and
smart
Mr. Spiewak, I have a question for you.
I will entertain all questions.
How is your newfound lust going with your big V? I haven't talked about that. We touched on it the other day when you were screaming about that vasectomy. And after that segment was over, I said to myself, he's upset because the whole vasectomy thing might not be working for him. Is it the same? Is it good? Is it better?
The vasectomy worked, if that's what you mean.
I know that. You've gone in, what was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? You went in and
I was cleared, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Cleared.
Cleared like for humping.
Like for security.
Exactly.
What's that little May song that you always sing?
Hooray, hooray, it's the 1st of May. Outdoor humping starts today.
So the doctor said to Rob, you're the guy that was on the Today Show, who was talking about how wonderful his vasectomy was.
That ass.
He actually said that the sex was better. Because,
sure.
Because the...
I imagine for him it would
well,
be.
Sure, he'd say that.
That's why you were mad. I was right. Because the freedom is there.
Right.
Because you don't have any
like
of
George
the...
George Michael's thing.
You know, and not that I like to talk about your sexual habits, but
liar.
Because
you do.
Because you have this freedom now.
Right.
You know, this this freedom to go crazy. Do you enjoy it more, Rob?
Oh. You mean the act?
Yeah.
The act is great.
Is it better, worse, or the same than
it was
before?
It's actually better. It is
really?
Better.
Now, is there any radio-friendly way you can tell us how?
Well, yeah. Well, there's a problem. It's not all daisies and sunshine.
No?
No.
Daisies. See, when you speak like an old queen, it's very difficult to talk sex talk with you.
Maybe the reason I'm talking like an old queen is I'm still not getting laid.
That
would do it.
Yeah. That is exactly what I wanted to know. I was very, very curious.
Laura and I are rooting for you tonight.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Good luck.
So frequency has not increased.
No, but the quality is exceptional.
Might surprise you.
No, now hold on. I would think that the whole point of this was to...
One would think that.
And I have a question. Is it extraordinarily dry out today?
I think so.
Just a touch.
I rode the bike in, and I am like super deluxe parched today.
The air was very dry.
Now, why did you make that face when I said I rode the bike in?
Because nobody likes dry, Mike.
Nobody likes dry.
Tell me
dry
about
at
it.
All. I like dry. Let me take a little pull on my Wawa. Hold
I
on.
Saw your bike down there. You're not even in your parking spot.
Mm-mm. Somebody
come?
Stole it.
Who?
I think the boss.
Let's kill him.
I think the boss stole my parking space today. So that's
Bruce Springsteen?
It's good to be the boss.
Yeah. But I, you know, we had all this moisture and we had all this rain, and I'm just confused because I was licking my lips a lot.
Well,
on
what
the way
you are,
in,
you're gearing up for tomorrow's perfection.
And listen to this. It's still not there, is it? It still sounds like that.
It doesn't sound like that. You know what it sounds? It sounds like a more mature broadcaster.
Good afternoon. I'm Arthur Godfrey. I'm speaking to
timely
you.
Timely reference.
I am speaking to you from the grave. Hello. This is Howard K. Smith. How is everyone doing? Hello. I'm Hughes Rudd. I'm just pulling all the dead broadcasters I
can
possibly.
Here's Fred Allen.
Hello. I'm Charles. Now, Now, see,
yeah,
he goes too far.
There was a comedian and not an old news person.
But he also goes that we're talking 1930s.
40s, too.
40s. How do you?
You know what? Fred Allen was
a
contemporary of Arthur Godfrey, and all three of us are not getting laid.
There isn't a surgery in the world that's going to fix that, is there?
Hello, I'm Charles Girault.
He's not dead,
it's
is
good
he?
Of course he's dead.
Oh, my God. I have Charles, to send flowers.
So you know Fred Allen.
Yeah.
But,
Fred Allen's dead.
Do you know Fred? Fred Waring.
Of course.
Well, the orchestra guy.
The Pennsylvanians.
Mm-hmm. How in the name of... My father! My dead
Your
father...
Your father was Fred Waring?
No, my dead father worked at NBC with Fred Waring.
It's on the bottom of
and
every blender.
And my father didn't have a voice like this.
And Buzz is right. Did you know Fred Waring holds the patent for the blender?
The blender. The Waring blender.
But like not, the same guy that was performing?
Mm-hmm.
But That's here's
true.
The deal.
Same family.
It's not a blender. What? It's a blendor. If it's a Waring, it's B-L-E-N-D-O-R. How about that?
You know, I swear to God, we had that lady with the memory on the show the other day. Yeah, your brain is the same. They ought to study your brain.
I am joyful.
You know, when they show, and you know, God forbid, we've been seeing a lot of pictures of the brain with Senator Kennedy and everything he's going through. And then we hear that lady talking about the fact that doctors are studying her brain.
Right.
What would they do to study a man's brain who can recall useless information at any time, but he is incapable of, like, simple logic.
Incapable of making love.
Going to have to send in a team of explorers.
Very, very difficult to figure Rob Spiewak. Because Rob is, as we mentioned, you are 37.
Seven, thank you.
37. This was even weirder when he was in his 20s.
Well, you know, when it was really weird before the days of the internet, because now anyone can pull useless information at any time.
Right.
Yes, but only you do.
Yeah, but you see...
He does, and it goes back into, the 1800s.
But the internet has made me fear that I'm no longer useful.
Don't worry about that.
Okay,
I mean, really, when I'm thinking about Fred Waring, and I can't believe we're talking about this, and the Pennsylvanians, my old man remembers that when he was working at NBC as a page, one of the ushers in the theater, that Fred Waring came out of the studio door, the stage door, and handed him like 200 and two other ushers in the theater $200 to go have fun.
You know who probably loves Fred Waring?
Who's that?
Richard Belzer.
Is Richard Belzer on the line?
He is. Would you like to speak with him?
Let's get him on the line. This guy's amazing. Richard!
Yes, sir.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
How are you?
We're excited to have you on the show.
Very
I wanted to interview you for a very, very long time. And,
you got me.
What a lot of people don't realize, may not realize, is that Richard has a little history right in these studios that we're broadcasting from.
This very building.
Isn't Richard,
cool?
you did a show from here like a million years ago.
What studio are we in, gentlemen?
We're calling you from Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, yes, I sure did. Yeah, 1987.
Exactly. Wow. Your producer, John Pop, says hello.
Now, Rob, you're the historian.
This
is before Howard, right?
Exactly.
It was broadcast on this station.
Exactly.
Right?
I called John Pop this week, who is no longer with the company, and he says he has vivid memories of picking you up at your Tyson's Corner Hotel and taking you to the Tasty Diner down the street for breakfast every morning.
Every morning, that's right. It was great radio in those days because Iran Contra was right in the middle of it.
Yeah, and you were doing that, and now you're the longest running character on primetime. Isn't that amazing?
I know. I'm old, but I'm flattered.
Well, we're old too. We're old too, Richard.
Rightly so.
I mean, that's kind of cool. What do you think makes that character? I mean, I look at that show when you're looking at SVU on NBC, and it's mm-hmm. namely that Last Comic Standing. He's also going to have a role in that. We're going to promote
that.
All that good stuff. But Detective, I love the name John Munch, has amazing legs, amazing longevity. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I attribute it to great writing, a little bit of luck, and at the risk of being immodest, you know, it's a really good character. It's a very good marriage of who I am in reality and who the character is. So I've been just incredibly lucky that, you know, writers have taken to it and, you know, other shows have requested me. So, you know, I'm living an actor's dream to have a gig. In the middle of all these reality shows, to still be on a drama is great.
We were talking in the break, Buzz. Were you mentioning that even on that show Arrested Development had Detective John Munch on it?
And The X-Files and a number of others, as well as Homicide Life on the Street.
Is that something that becomes kind of a kitschy thing to do out in Hollywood, that they're going to put your character on all these different shows? I mean,
well, no one's ever done it before, so I don't know if you could qualify it as kitschy. Mm-hmm. I just think that for some reason this character meets the needs of other shows, and, you know, don't forget I'm on 20 times a week, so I guess people are getting get used to me.
You swear to God, that true. Franchise, the Law and Order franchise, you
TNT,
can't turn,
man.
You can't turn the television on without seeing that.
Came out of Homicide, Life on the Street.
How's France?
France is great. We've been coming here for almost 20 years now. We have a house here.
Wow.
Now are you speaking?
It's the best lifestyle on earth, the day-to-day country living here.
Are you speaking to us from France right now, Richard?
Yes, I'm in my office.
That is so cool.
I'm looking a waterfall.
Say hi to Johnny Depp for us.
I still
Johnny's
think,
a few hours from here.
Ah. We had him. He was the subject of the show earlier in the week. Have you heard about Johnny, Richard?
What?
You know, kind of a, well, it's an endowment thing.
He's gifted.
He's gifted, if you know what I mean. Not just as an actor, if you know what I'm talking about.
We're all the same height in bed.
Amen, brother.
Depending on where you're laying.
Exactly.
I was reading.
Or who you're laying.
I was reading about you on, I love reading your stuff on the Huffington Post.
Oh,
you,
I loved it. Yeah. That reminds me, I got to do another piece, actually.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I like to talk politics, and I kind of see where you're coming from, but you're one of these guys that can put it into words slightly better than I can, and you have a lot to say about the world and the... do you think we can survive until the election, Richard?
That's not a frivolous question.
I know it's not. We were talking about that yesterday with the whole Iran thing going on now.
My worry is this. I mean, I genuinely believe Obama will be the next president of the United States, and he'll win... I know, in a landslide.
I wish I shared your confidence on that.
There's two things that could happen that I'm personally worried about.
Okay.
One is Bush could certainly start something in Iran, and of course they have to retaliate either against American interests in Europe or here or in America. Mm-hmm. That means that a war would be on. A real war, not a fake war like we're in now. Mm-hmm. And Bush would then declare martial law and suspend the election. And he has the authority to do that.
Now, yeah.
And, I mentioned this about a year ago, and everybody thought I was crazy. But recently I spoke to a group of international lawyers in New York, and there was some genuine concern about what these guys are capable of doing. Don't forget, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, these guys, they technically have broken many laws. And when they get out of office, they're not immune to prosecution.
Well, Richard, I know I've read a lot of what you say. And, of course, you have the whole rap as the conspiracy theorist. You wrote a book about it.
It's not a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy. But the other day I said on this show, I said, I still, as much as my politics differ from the current administration's, I still think... And I've thought up until a certain point that this is a group of guys that maybe in their heart of hearts might think that they're actually doing the right thing. But if we do anything as far as Iran before this election and the scenario were to, the nightmare scenario was to play out the way you're saying it, I think I would go over the edge and say, well, maybe there is genuine evil in their hearts. And this is not just a political philosophy that we're talking about here as far as the neocons are concerned.
Well, the problem with the neocons is there's two basic philosophies in America about humanity. One is the Hobbesian conservative view that people are basically bad, mm-hmm. and that the role of government is to control people's bad impulses, and that's about it. Armies, police, that's it.
Right.
And then there's the Jeffersonian, Rousseauian take, which postulates that mankind is basically good, and it's the role of government to enhance that and not impede the right, the pursuit of happiness, but to help it.
At the very least,
not impede it.
I wanted to say, I thank God I watched the John Adams special on HBO. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what you were talking about. But I mean, you actually see Thomas Jefferson, at least the recreation of the way it was back then when he's arguing with John Adams, and that's kind of his philosophy is people are inherently good,
right.
And we should try to help each other and all that. And
government has a function.
Mm-hmm. And what's scary about it is what you say now. Almost seems to be playing out, and that just freaks me out. I think it freaks out a lot of people.
I mean, they may not suspend the election, but your impulse to say that in their heart of hearts, maybe they think they're doing good. I think you give them the benefit of the doubt to a point, but over the last few years, they have decimated this planet. They have ruined our reputation. They are constantly rewarding all these obscene giant corporations. I mean, I don't think that they're in their heart of hearts that they're that their impulses are good. I think that they're craven, you know, businessmen who are this is a dream. A war's a racket. Look at all the money they're making. They don't want to end this thing.
I agree.
It's sad.
And when you look at it, you have to agree with that. And the real sad part of all this is that almost pawns in this are the troops that everybody seems to want
to
hide behind.
That's the most heartbreaking thing of all, is that these kids go over there, and they aren't kids, most of them.
Yeah.
And they've been unprepared for what's going on. They're going back 3 and 4 times. There are injuries that are going on in Iraq that we didn't have the technology, the medical technology that, you know, in Vietnam. So we're saving lives of people with, you know, no phases or limbs and half their brains. I mean, it's so heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah. It is. And, these are people that are just, for whatever reason, you know, they're signing up.
They're
to
all
to
victims.
Do their
I don't care, you know, what anybody says. I think that they're victims of this war.
Do you, when you think about people living abroad, you've lived abroad for a long time. That's where you spend a lot of your time. Is that political in any way, or is that just because you love where you have your house?
It wasn't political initially, but I must say it's good to get out of the United States every once in a while and read the foreign press and get away from the constant stress. I mean, I love America. I love New York. I love my job. You know, I got the TV on all day. I'm on the internet. I read 20,000 newspapers. And
what do they make of our election so far over there? McCain, Hillary,
Barack? The French, they all think McCain is crazy. they detest Bush. They love the American people. They're just disappointed in us.
Yes.
But, you know, I try to explain to my friends here that, you know, they stole the election. We did not reelect Bush. And they go, oh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the Kevin Spacey movie that's going to be coming out on that.
I saw a screening of it.
Oh, did you really? Did you? How was it? Was it good?
It's so good. You're going to love it.
Oh,
it's really good. It's disturbing, but it's very good.
I wanted to ask you before we just get off this subject.
Sure.
I'll get too depressed. Do you have any good Saturday Night Live, like, behind-the-scenes stories from the early days? Because that's such a heyday, and I know you were hanging around New York during those days.
I'll tell you one quick story. John and I used to we hung out there a lot after hours, and we would go through other people's desks looking for medication. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a professional
stand-up. And we weren't always unsuccessful.
What? And when I was researching this interview, because I've listened to you for years and watched you on TV, but I my memory of the Groove Tube, it was a life-changing experience when I snuck in with my sister to see
cool.
the Groove
How old
Tube.
Were you?
All right, I'm 48.
Right.
So I'm trying to think what that would make me.
73 it came out.
It was 1973, so I was just a teenager.
Wow.
And I will never forget the public service announcement for VD.
Thank you, Sam.
Which is the great, look, you know, the tough
that
thing.
That wasn't me, by the way.
That's
it wasn't?
A good thing.
No.
Just for those of you that might not know, the Groove Tube, if you pick it up. This is a cult classic. A lot of people haven't seen it, and because it's kind of tough to find. You got to look in your video stores
you
to find it.
You know, but I watched it recently for the first time in
it's
years.
The greatest,
and some of that stuff is really still very funny.
Oh, you sure? Oh, yeah.
The one that I remember, and this is the one that's burned into my teenage, brain filled with hormones, is the shaking. You see, it's from a distance, and you see what appears to be a Muppet like cartoon character that's doing a public service announcement.
Yeah, Safety Sam
for. See, you remember the detail for VD. And as they get closer and closer, you see that, now correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, this is an upside-down penis that is actually doing the talking.
The balls are the eyes.
it is the greatest. And after talking to you, I'm going to go out and watch the Groove Tube again.
Well, at least that's seen anyway.
We get calls, the asshats that call on a regular basis. We always like to say people are trying to be stand-up comedians on this show. You wrote a book, How to Be a Stand-Up Comic, and single most important piece of advice for anybody that might even be trying to attempt that?
Yeah, there's two things I would say. One is you have to do it over and over and over and over again, and you got to be prepared to fail. Uh-huh. It's a brutal thing, but, you know, it's not easy, but, you know, the rewards are extraordinary, obviously. Making strangers laugh is pretty amazing.
And if you're an angry, bitter, miserable, despicable human being, it's not
become
about
a lawyer.
That's true. What about your new book, I Am Not a Cop?
That'll be out in October. It's a mystery novel based on my real life, but it's fictionalized. It's, you know, I... I play myself in the novel, but I get caught up in real crimes.
And you're working on a film, The Last... I just want to get all this in. You're working on a film, The Last Supper, The Roast. Is that a...
Last Supper, First Roast.
Is that like a Friars Club roast of Jesus, or what? What is that?
Yeah, the disciples roast Jesus.
Wow. That's really what it is. Yeah. I didn't even know that when I asked you.
That was a roast, after all. They all got up and, you know...
Yeah, I guess they had a good time there. Well, you're a good man, Richard Belzer. You know, how deep will you get into politics? I mean, you live abroad, obviously. Will you get?
Well, I will do everything I can to help Obama.
And Last Comic Standing premieres tonight, 9:30 Eastern.
It's a great. Steve Schripp and I were with the judges, and we found some great people. Had a great time, and I think it's good for everybody. You know, the audience and the comics.
And, of course, Detective John Munch on Law & Order, SVU. You'll be doing that character in well into your...
To my grave.
Into your grave.
Good.
That's Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern on NBC. Sunday's also on USA. Check your local listings. Richard, if you ever get back into the Washington area, come back to your...
Yeah, actually, I will be in the fall, so...
Come back to your old studios.
Send a limo, and I might come by.
Yeah, we'll have you in for a while. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Send a limo, though.
Yeah, we will.
I will definitely send a big expensive limo.
Okay.
Have fun in France. Bye-bye.
Bye, man.
Thanks,
man.
That's Richard.
What a great guy.
Brilliant guy, too, yeah, which I didn't realize.
Did we ask him how long he had been living in France?
I think he's been there. I think he's had his house over there for maybe 20 years.
Over there, they call him Richard Belzer.
He is Belzer, the wonderful
Richard
man.
Belzer.
We enjoy that. So that's cool. I like talking to Richard Belzer. So.
And the more he talked, he kind of sounded like Kevin Spacey, didn't he?
The Groove Tube. Did you ever see The Groove Tube?
I remember it, but I don't
She doesn't like to
it.
Laugh, Mike.
So. I do like to laugh,
The Groove Tube also has... I mean, we're talking about vague memories of it, but I mean the penis just sticks out in my
That's
you know it's
funny.
Like, cuz you're sitting there
you have it.
You're sitting there in the theater and you're going, okay, what is this? And it's like, and you look at it and it's a cardboard cutout and it's going, hi, I want to talk about, I'm Safety Sam, and I see he remember the character, I'm Safety Sam.
Well,
I want to talk to you about that, and it's shaking and it's this amazingly slow pan. I think Chevy Chase is in that movie, too.
He is.
Like, in the... I mean, this is pre-Saturday Night Live Chevy Chase, right?
This is not something you would see on the big screen a lot at that era of American cinema.
No,
so
not
I
at
can
all.
Only imagine what it was like to see it in context of time.
Manchester the Showcase Cinemas in East Hartford, Connecticut. That's where I saw it. And he's shaking, and the camera is a slow pan in, and I'm looking at it, and I'm sitting there, you know, it's kind of creepy because I'm sitting there with my sister, who's 7 years older than me. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, what is that? Oh, my God.
Is that when you realize your sister was really enjoying the movie?
The other thing is they have this guy that's in this guy's in a pink suit, and they do a camera pan where he is just happy and he's dancing through the streets of New York.
Right.
And you just see him and all. I mean, it is so long. It is one camera shot, and the guy is doing, and he's going down the street, and he falls into fountains, and he's knocking things over, and he's just dancing, going, ba-dee-ba-da-ba-doo, and it's just, and another one, the Groove Tube is coming back to me now, is a couple running through the woods, and the guy is chasing this woman, and she's disrobing
as she's running,
uh-huh. And of course, he's getting all hot and bothered. He's tearing his clothes off, too. This is 1973.
Yeah.
I mean, this was
groundbreaking,
you know,
at the time.
Big deal for 1973. Yeah. And he's taking all his clothes off, and she gets completely naked, and then you see him get completely naked, and he's running, and you see the euphoria on his face because he thinks she's being playful, and then he bursts through these bushes, and all you see are these cops with the lights on, and this typical Southern sheriff just with his arms folded. And all the movie was a series of all these sketches, and they had that, like, one right after the other. It was absolutely incredible.
We should caution people, the movie is 35 years old now. It was made on a very low budget, so it'll look a little cheesy
by
today's standards.
Oh, it's totally cheesy.
But that being said, go see it anyway. Yeah. Or rent it anyway.
Rent it, because you can't see it anywhere. Right, it is cheesy. It is
it's an
cheesy.
It's an interesting link, like, between, like, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, which is just winding up, and then Saturday Night Live, and also Kentucky Fried Movie, the whole idea of taking sketch comedy or like blackout comedy to the next level.
And really going all the way with it.
Absolutely.
And even, you know, you see stuff in the Groove Tube that you would not probably see in a movie today.
That's
because they wouldn't show that. But, I mean, they were, you know, the rules weren't
it was crazy
as easily defined as they are today. So I want to thank Richard Belzer. He is a good guy. And I'm sorry, I kind of monopolized the interview. You didn't get a chance to ask any John Munch questions.
No, you know what? I like what we talked about better, so I'm glad it went that way.
Yeah, he's a political guy, and you listen to him a lot. He's like a Joe Ardinger. He's a conspiracy guy, too.
That. Yeah, I don't think he'll get a lot of that out of Last Comic Standing, so perhaps it's best he did it in this forum.
He'll scare the crap out of you if you talk to him for a while.
I know. I want to move to France.
Has anybody, have you heard anywhere in the mainstream media suspending the election because of martial law?
Not mainstream, but I have heard it.
Picture him over there smoking a big long cigarette in France. I really don't think that's going to happen. But I could be wrong. Anyway,
if it does, he would look very smart.
Don't forget Last Comic Standing tonight, 9:30 Eastern on, is it NBC?
NBC.
Yep. And we will be right this after that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.